In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you. 27 years ago, on the 6th of January, I began to broadcast on WROL, 27 years ago. And on the 20th of January, when it comes, I will be 28 years on WEZE. Where has the time gone? I can only say thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, and thank you, people that have supported this ministry. This ministry is not only in Boston, but this ministry is in Arizona. It's in Washington, D.C. It's in Albuquerque. It's in St. Louis. It's in several other places. It's in New Jersey. I can only say thank you, Jesus, because you know what? I would never be able to do this without Jesus and without you who have supported this ministry all these years. I know you listen. I know you listen. And if you listen and are blessed, please bless us so that we can continue to broadcast and continue to proclaim Jesus as the light of the world. I'm reading from the second chapter of Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, Herod the king. Herod was crazy. Did you know that? Herod killed his sons. Herod was crazy. He was a crazy man. Not too many people know that, but this Herod that reigned in Jerusalem was a cuckoo person, really nuts. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" How do they know? "We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." So they followed a star. Are these people crazy? Have you ever followed a star? Well, they must have had more insight than just following a star, because only God knows how long they followed that star. And they go to Herod, and they said, you know, "Where is Messiah to be born?" When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem. And I'm going to tell you why he was troubled. Because if Caesar ever heard that there was another king, Caesar would be very angry, because the real king was the king in Rome, and his name was Caesar. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Messiah should be born. So the star isn't enough. The star is not enough. And what did the chief priests and the scribes say? And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." You know, I ask everybody, how did the wise men get to Jesus? And they say they followed a star. That's only half right. They had to call the chief priests and the scribes, and they had to open the Bible. So creation and revelation. Creation, the star. Revelation, the scriptures. Led them to Jesus. Creation and revelation. The Epiphany is all about revelation. You know that the Epiphany is about revelation, that God reveals his Son to the Gentiles. This is an important fact, because the scripture says the gospel is for the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. And you know what? It happened that way too, because the angel first went to the shepherds, Jewish shepherds who smell just like the sheep. And then the wise men found Jesus. Gentiles. And this is previews of coming attractions, that Jew and Gentile would become one body, one man in Christ. And this is the first inkling of it, that at his birth, these wise men received revelation. They opened the scriptures, and the scripture says that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, when Herod was dead, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the baby. And when you have found the child, bring me word again, and I may come and worship him." When they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. We do not know how old the child was. He was a young child. He could have been 2 years old. How do I know that? Because Herod killed every baby 2 to 0. When did you start following the star? Maybe 2 years ago. And they followed this star, and they came to the house where Jesus was, not a manger, because Joseph took them out of the manger and brought them to a house. I want to talk about Revelation today, not the book of Revelation, but God revealing to us Jesus, God revealing to us Messiah. Revelation is different than creation. Creation is beautiful, and God can reveal himself through creation. But revelation is so much more personal, that God himself reveals himself as he is to people. This is revelation, God revealing himself through the scriptures. But you know what? When St. Paul was on the road to Damascus, he experienced revelation. "Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, whom you persecute." That is revelation. God revealing himself, Jesus revealing himself to St. Paul. I tell you, we all need revelation. People ask me, you know, when the Jewish people read the scriptures, if they read the scriptures, how come they don't see that Jesus is the fulfillment of the scriptures? It takes a revelation. What does revelation mean? To take the veil away from our eyes, to take the veil away from our hearts, that we could see Jesus. You know, I can preach till the cows come home, but unless the Holy Spirit gives revelation, people will come in and leave the same way they came in. If the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, I tell you, my preaching is revelatory. And I'm saying it's so important that we preach the gospel, because we are assured that when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was born for us, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, that he died and was buried and on the third day rose from the dead. If we preach the gospel, we are sure the Holy Spirit will begin to act. I'm going to tell you some stories about revelation, about things that have happened to me. I remember this man coming to me with his daughter who had anorexia and bulimia. And I tried to convince her that she should eat. And no matter what I said to her, she said, "I'm fat and I'm not going to eat." And she was anything but fat. She looked like a skeleton. She looked like she needed something quick, because she looked like she was going to die. Well, I said to her, "You're not listening to me, and God wants you to eat something, and I want you to eat something, but you know what? Let God tell you himself." And she looked at me and said, "How can God tell me himself?" I said, "Here's the Bible." I said, "Here's the lectionary, which contains the scriptures, and I ask you to pray. We're going to pray that God lead you to a scripture that says he wants you to eat." So we prayed that God would lead us to a scripture, and the scripture I had my finger on was, "Give her something to eat." It was the little girl that had died, and Jesus raised her from the dead, and he said, "Give her something to eat." Well, the little girl that had anorexia, her eyes opened up, because you know what? She opened the Bible. I didn't do it. She saw this as revelation. She couldn't say revelation. I said, "What would you like to eat today?" She said, "I'd like to have a frap, a vanilla frap. I said to her father, get her the biggest frap that you can ever get her. And she knows now that Jesus wants her to eat. Because, you see, she had a revelation. It came through the scriptures. It was a real revelation. It wasn't only creation. God moved in that room. I remember Eric, Father Eric, and he tells the story that he had gone across country, I think, with his friend Matthew, and Matthew wanted to sleep. They stopped the car at a safe place, and Father Eric at the time was just Eric, didn't want to sleep. So Matthew said, oh, go outside and go look at the scenery and pray. Now, that was very unlike Matthew to say a thing like that. Very unlike his friend Matthew. And when Eric went outside, the Lord revealed himself to Eric. It was revelation. It was creation and revelation. He experienced the presence of God and was changed for the rest of his life. I'm telling you, we need revelation in the church. We need. Did you know that Jesus didn't do anything without revelation? He says, whatever I see the Father do, I do. Whatever I hear the Father say, I say. These wise men had to go to the scriptures to find out where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem of Judah. But you know, we all need revelation. My revelation came in front of the Blessed Sacrament when I was a young child. Wasn't a young child, I was about 20 years old, not young at all. And I remember the Lord speaking to me, and he said to me, how much more glory can you give me than these wildflowers? And I said, much, Lord. And then I said, you could have my life. And the Holy Spirit filled my whole being. It was like I was being drenched with living water from the inside out. It was revelatory. God revealed himself. Now, I'm going to tell you that revelation comes by faith. Having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, revelation comes by faith. And I'm going to say that we all need revelation. Why don't the Jews, all the Jewish people believe? Because they need revelation, the revelation of Jesus. I'll tell you about David Levitan. David Levitan, a Jewish boy, came home one night. His roommate wasn't there, but they had a Bible there. And David Levitan opened the Bible to Matthew's Gospel. He had never read Matthew. Then he opened the Bible to Isaiah, like a sheep led to the slaughterhouse. When the sun came up, David was a Jewish Christian. Oh, yes, he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He had revelation. It was revelatory. God revealed himself through the scriptures. I'm telling you. We need revelation, especially in the churchgoers, you know, people who have warmed the benches, warmed the pews, pew potatoes for about 50 years. They need revelation of Jesus, you know, say, yeah, well, you know, I know Jesus. Yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, well, I know Mickey Mouse, too. You know, if a person knows Jesus, knows him personally, they're going to live a little differently than the world. If a person knows Jesus, I'm going to tell you, they're going to live like a Christian. Oh, yes, they're going to fall. I'm going to fall. And when we fall, we confess our sins and we turn away from our sins. But if a person knows Jesus, there's something different about that person. I remember being in Rhode Island by the ocean, and I was with a whole lot of people. And this woman came up to me, and she said to me, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And she didn't know me from Adam. I said, how do you know? She says, I can see it in your eyes. God gave her revelation. I never could see it in my eyes. But she came up to me. It was amazing. I'll never forget it. She looked at me and said, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, yes, I was. How do you know? I can see it in your eyes. I said, Mamma Mia. This is revelation. This was revelation given to that girl and given revelation to me, the Lord confirming what he had done in my life. The Lord confirming what he had done in my life. We need revelation that God would take the veil from our eyes and we would see Jesus. They looked up and saw only Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember what happened? There was Moses and Elijah speaking to Jesus about his departure. And after they had finished talking, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, looked up and saw only Jesus. You don't have to see anybody else if you see Jesus, I tell you. He is the fulfillment of Moses, the law. He is the fulfillment of Elijah, the prophets. He is the Lord, and we need revelation of Jesus, especially us in the church who have grown cold and grown old and grown as we walk. We need revelation, the revelation of Jesus, that the Lord would take from us the veil from our hearts and our eyes, and we would be like the Greek men. We want to see Jesus. Let's continue with this scripture. Then Herod, when he had privy called the wise men, inquired of them gently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, not an infant, but a young child. And when you have found the young child, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He's a liar. He's a liar. Herod was a liar. He killed his own sons. He wants to know where this Messiah is to be born so that he can, what? Do him in. Kill him. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw, that's nature, in the east, went before them till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they were come into the house, and they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Isn't this interesting? This is prophetic. This is prophetic. Gold, the gift of a king. Frankincense, the gift of a priest. He would be the great high priest who dies on the cross and who raised from the dead. And gold, incense, and frankincense for when he died. They would anoint his body. I tell you, the gifts that the wise men gave were prophetic. Let me also tell you this. They didn't even know it. They didn't know it. But by revelation, I know it. I know it. That these were not just three gifts. These were three prophetic gifts for the child. Now, the question is, how old was the child? He's no longer an infant, and they're no longer in a manger. They're in the house. They're in a house. How old is the child? Well, your guess is as good as mine. I have no revelation about how old the child was, but we could say from 2 years old to whatever, and under. 2 years old and under, because Herod killed every child that was 2 years old and under. So we don't know how old the child was. He was not an infant. Matthew calls him a child. And being warned of them in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed and went into their own country another way. Isn't this interesting? Being warned in a dream, revelation. Don't go back to Herod. Herod wants to destroy the baby's or the child's life. Don't go back to Herod. He lied to you. He says he wanted to worship. He doesn't want to worship at all. He wants to kill the child. And they had a revelation in a dream. And I'm going to tell you, revelation could come through a dream. It could come through a dream, you know. I remember this woman coming to me saying way before the Twin Towers went down, coming to me and said, you know, I had a dream that the Twin Towers went down. She drew the picture. And I just thought, you know what? There was just a dream. It was prophetic. When people have prophetic dreams, You need to pray that it be lessened. If you have a prophetic dream of an earthquake, you pray that it will be lessened and that nobody will die. God doesn't do anything without showing his prophets. Sometimes we have these dreams and we don't know what to do with them. We need to pray that if it's like someone going to die, that God would get a doctor to the person. You see what I'm saying? That if we have revelation, we want to use the revelation that God gives us so that we can help people. You know, I had no idea that this dream of the Twin Towers going down was revelatory. But from now on, you know, when somebody comes to me and says, I had a dream that there was a tsunami in Winthrop, I said, well, you pray that God would lessen the tsunami and that it would miss us. You see, if the dream is prophetic, you just take no chances. And, you know, I had a dream that thus and such happened. Well, what's thus and such? I had a dream. And I'll tell you about Tom Clasby's dream that he had. He had a dream that he was dressed up as a cardinal and he was opening a door with the key. And I just knew exactly what the dream meant. God was calling him to make a choice whether he would be married or whether he would be a priest. And he made the choice that he would be married. God was not saying you must be a priest. He was showing him that he could be a priest or he could be married. And that's what the dream said. I had a vision of the Titanic going down and the lifeboats could not bring the people in. And I knew the interpretation. The Titanic was the world economic system. I didn't even know that there was a world economic system. And the lifeboats was the church. They didn't know how to get the people on the boat when there was this great turmoil. Lord Jesus Christ, help me to preach the gospel so that, oh, if the world and its economy goes into the drink, that I have nothing to give people but Jesus and him crucified and raised from the dead. Lord, teach us how to get people onto the boat of safety, onto the boat that brings us life. Oh, Jesus, we ask this in your name. Lord Jesus Christ, we have already spent $16.4 trillion in debt. My friends, if you had a card that was plastic and you spent and spent and spent, there comes a time when you cannot meet the interest, and you know what? You have to go bankrupt. This country is heading toward bankruptcy, just like Spain and Portugal. And we need to pray that if and when bankruptcy comes to this country, that we would be faithful to Jesus Christ and to no one else. Because you know what? If bankruptcy comes to the United States, we have been raised on bonbons. We've never had any big problems. Oh, yes. We have problems in our family. We have all those kind of problems. But we've been raised on wonderful candy and beautiful steak and all these good things. And you know what? If there was an economic disaster, we wouldn't know how to deal with it. There was a Great Depression that took place many years ago. My mother was in that Great Depression. But you know what? They could deal with it because my mother and her family knew that if they had a little oil and some onions and a little bread, they could do with what they needed. They didn't need meat. They could eat the onions and the oil and the salt and the pepper and maybe a little red pepper and some lovely hard bread. I'm telling you, they knew how to face a depression. We do not know how to face a depression because we have been raised on bonbons. We need to get ready that if the country goes down, we need to get ready to tell people about Jesus and that the lifeboats come on and know Jesus and come on and be fed by Jesus. And Jesus knows you and he loves you and he's going to keep us through this. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel. I have been doing postcards the last 2 days. Oh, it's so difficult for me to do postcards, but you know what? You're worth it. If only I write on it a blessed 2013. A blessed 2013. On some of them, I write my prayers, and I start praying for them at the moment. I tell you, this ministry, 27 years old, on WROL, has been a personal ministry for 27 years. I not only send out a newsletter, but I touch every card that comes to me. And that has become a very difficult thing to do because we get lots of mail. But I am looking for your letter in the mail, okay? And you write in season and out of season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's in season and out of season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. What led the wise men to the child? Nature, the star, and Revelation, the scriptures. Read the scriptures. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.